And maybe it's the combination of sweet oil and fear that drag him back to his wedding day, the day that he promised to honour and protect Sarai till death do us part. Abram used to be a man of honour. He used to be someone that his neighbours and his staff would look up to, someone people could trust. He used to be someone who God told to be a blessing. How far he has fallen. And as he stands here in front of the Egyptian king waiting for the death sentence, Abram looks back through a crowd of memories on the man that he has forgotten how to be. It's been a long day drinking tea, one meeting after another. All of the heads of department have been through his tent this morning. He's seen the head of security, the farm manager, the accountant, the butler, and Abram is exhausted. He hasn't seen his family all day. Some days, the responsibilities of a wealthy man lie heavy on his shoulders, and today is one of those days. So with business over, he gets himself up from the cushions he's reclined on, has a stretch, and steps out of his tent, wanders away from the campsite to get his head clear, towards the sun which is approaching the hills in the west while the temperature drops. He turned 75 last week. 75 candles cramming the birthday cake and the surprise party his wife Sarah put on for him. Everyone was there, the neighbours, the staff and their families, all of the whānau, cheering and speechifying. People said all sorts of nice things. They might even have met some of them. But as Abram strolls towards the setting sun, he looks back on his 75 years and he wonders what he's really leaving behind him. What is his legacy? Plenty of sheep and camels, that's for sure. If you live long enough, the miracle of compound multiplication does wonders for your bank account. But no children. Abram is a fair way towards depressing himself for the evening when he hears something. Something that sounds like every voice he's ever heard in his life, all put together, but like none of them at the same time. He hears a voice saying, leave your country. Leave your family. Leave your father's house for a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. You'll be famous. You are to be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and those who curse, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. Camels. Smelly, grumpy, spitting camels, 80 or 90 of them piled all around the campsite, and dozens of donkeys as well, because Abram has collected a lot of stuff in his 75 years, and it's all going with them. All going with them where? Well, his staff is just as mystified as everybody else, because they arrived at work this morning, expecting to settle in at the office for the second latte of the day, make a slow start, and instead they arrived and found their boss pacing around the campsite, arranging things and issuing instructions, looking like he was 15 years younger, full of energy, issuing instructions for packing. Packing? For where? Well, Abram hasn't deigned to tell them that. They don't know where they're heading, they just know that they are. Everyone's going, and everything needs to be packed. So here they are, wrapping up cups and newspaper, rolling up carpets and boxing up knickknacks, and loading them onto grumpy camels. But surprisingly enough, by the end of the morning, the camels are the only ones that are grumpy, because it's hard to stay annoyed in the face of such cheerfulness from your boss. Abram looks like a kid in a mud puddle. He's going around the campsite with a clipboard, ticking off things on his packing lists, whistling slightly off-key. Hearing God's voice last night was amazing. It was mind-blowing. A once-in-a-lifetime experience for sure. But it left Abram feeling agitated and unsettled all night, and he and Sarai stayed the whole night up, talking around in circles, figuring out what it all meant. What were they going to do about this? Was he just hearing things? Was old age catching up with him? No, Abraham feels perfectly sane, and he has a feeling in his gut that tells him to listen, to remember. But it's all very well hearing this vision of future glory, that your family is going to be great. It's quite another to pack up your whole household and head off with no destination in mind. What would you do? Stay up all night deciding if you're Abram? Hearing God's voice? Amazing. But acting on it? Priceless. Stepping out of his tent this morning and arranging the packing, that is what has brought the whistle to his lips and the spring to his step. Abram is remembering God's promise by acting on God's instructions. And he's never felt better. He's not feeling agitated or unsettled anymore. Abram feels like today is the first day of the rest of his life. Like hours of driving through sugarcane fields in Queensland, when you're travelling by camel caravan through the desert, each day blends into the next. Monday, plodded through sand dunes on grumpy camels. Tuesday, plodded through sand dunes on grumpy camels. Wednesday, stopped at an oasis beside the grumpy camels. Thursday, plodded through sand dunes with grumpy camels. But as the desert turns into grass and hills rise on the horizon, a whisper goes through Abram's household that they've arrived. Arrived in Canaan, Canaan, great dairying country on the flat. Plenty of bush on the hills for hunting and timber. Land of milk and honey. So all that remains is to find the spot to settle down. So Abram's family, his household, the hundreds of people who rely on him and who run his mini empire, they carry on trudging along on their camels, doing a tiki tour of the Canaan countryside, scoping out the real estate. And then they settle, and they start living the good life in the land of milk and honey. They follow the seasons around the countryside, pitching their tents where the grazing is best and the fruit trees are heavy laden. Until one year, when the fruit trees are miserly, and the grass is dry, and the blue sky brings no rain. Years of living the good life have worn away Abram's gratitude and dependence on the God who gave him everything. Sarai has not been given a child, and now the land is failing as well. Abram has forgotten his little stone altar just beside the camp where they stay in the summer months. When they were arriving in Canaan, the rhythmic sway of the camel beneath him reminded him, a bit like a catchy pop song in your head, every step of the way, that God had promised great things and that he was acting on them. And every step of acting reminded him of God's promises. And that was enough. So Abram was a bit surprised and overwhelmed to hear God's voice again. Arrived in Canaan, seeing a tree loom in the distance, he hears God's voice. "This land I will give to your offspring." Abram has tears in his eyes. Land and children. How can one man be given so much? He's so moved. He wants to remember this moment forever. So he sends all of the kids and the teenagers to run around the valley and grab stones and rocks. And with his two brown hands, he builds them into a stone memorial to remind him forever. This day God spoke to him, this is the land that he has been given. The day that God gave him a turanga waiwai, a place to stand, and the promise of children to follow after him. God is here, and God is good. But Abram has his back to the altar and his eyes on the miserly fruit trees, and he has forgotten about trusting God. And today, he's not whistling as he arranges the packing of the camel caravan. He's stomping around the campsite, snapping at his staff, ticking items off on his list, but with no cheerfulness this time, because they are heading south to Egypt. The land has failed them. And as they ride south with disappointment and failure riding with them, leaving a stone memorial behind, long behind them, Abram's household is quiet. As they reach Egypt and approach the king's palace to seek refuge, to ask permission to live out the famine years in the land of the pyramids, Abram has forgotten everything. He has forgotten the trust in God that he demonstrated when he left his parents for an unknown land. He's also forgotten how gorgeous his wife is. So he's taken aback when he notices a court official in the king's palace eyeing her up. He tells Sarai to cover her face. And he gets the soldiers to surround her, but he's too late. The Egyptian king is famous for many things, among them the hundreds of women from all over the known world in his harem. If he takes Sarai, when he takes Sarai, he's not going to worry about bumping off the husband, this refugee who's come begging to him. And this is the moment that Abram can never erase, the moment when he sacrifices his wife to save his skin and his household. Sarai, his beloved wife, who he promised to protect and honour till death do us part. Sarai, the future mother of his child. The person above all others he should be a blessing to. He makes her lie for him. Conveniently forgets about decades of marriage, make herself available. And she's taken away into the king's harem for a few dozen sheep and cattle. Despicable. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. And it's only as Abram is standing some weeks later in front of the king, waiting for the death sentence to be handed down, that he realizes what he's lost. The trust in God, goodness and kindness to his wife, the inheritance of being a blessing to all the families of the earth, ground in dust at his feet. How differently he would do things if he had another chance. What if he'd never left Canaan? What if he had kept his eyes on that stone memorial and remembered God's goodness to him? What if he'd stayed in the land God promised him? But Abram's what ifs are interrupted by the king's sentence. The king's voice fills the room as he flings accusations at Abram. Why did you lie to me? Why did you let me take your wife? He exposes his arm covered with red, angry blotches. Why did you expose me to this punishment? Abram braces himself for the worst. The king looks at him and sighs. Looks at him with tired eyes and says, "Get out. Go, take your wife with you. Leave." Abram blinks. Leave? Leave with his wife alive and intact? He starts with some stumbled apologies, but the king waves him away. He doesn't want to hear anymore. Get out of my sight. So Abram strides over to Sarai, whose perfume he has been smelling, and he takes her hand and gives what he hopes is a reassuring squeeze that communicates his regret. And they leave before the king can change his mind. How can one man be given so much? Abram wonders at God's goodness to him, to such an ordinary and ultimately unreliable guy. And as he makes the packing lists for the last journey, the journey home to the land he's been promised and will never leave, he thinks things are going to change. He's been given another chance and he's not going to waste it. How can one man be given so much? He looks at his clipboard with his packing list and sees item number one. Be a blessing. And make your descendants into a great nation. You will become famous and be a blessing to others. I will bless anyone who blesses you, but I will put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. Everyone on earth will be blessed because of you. Abram was 75 years old when the Lord told him to leave the city of Haran. He obeyed and left with his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions and slaves they had got while in Haran. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram went as far as the sacred tree of Moreh in a place called Shechem. The Canaanites were still living in the land at that time, but the Lord appeared to Abram and promised, "I will give this land to your family forever." Abram then built an altar there for the Lord. Abram travelled to the hill country east of Bethel and camped between Bethel and Ai, where he built another altar and worshipped the Lord. Later, Abram started out toward the southern desert. The crops failed, and there was no food anywhere in the land. So Abram and his wife Sarai went to live in Egypt for a while. But just before they got here, he said, "Sarai, you're really beautiful. When the Egyptians see how lovely you are, they will murder me because I'm your husband, but they won't kill you. Please save my life by saying that you're my sister." As soon as Abram and Sarai arrived in Egypt, the Egyptians noticed how beautiful she was. The king's officials told him about her, and she was taken to his house. The king was good to Abram because of Sarai, and Abram was given sheep, cattle, donkeys, slaves, and camels. Because of Sarai, the Lord struck the king and everyone in his palace with terrible diseases. Finally, the king sent for Abram and said to him, "What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me Sarah was your wife? Why did you make me believe she was your sister? Now I have married her. Take her and go. She's your wife." So the king told his men to let Abram and Sarai take their possessions and leave.